The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Martha Wentworth and Noreen Gamill star in The Babbitt Sisters, an episode of Incredible But True, and Philip Clark is your host for A Tale of Mystery from the Sealed Book. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Martha Wentworth and Noreen Gamill star in The Babbitt Sisters, and Philip Clark is your host for A Tale of Mystery from the Sealed Book. Right now, Ken Nordine is your host for Incredible But True, as WMKY presents The Golden Age of Radio.
So rapid has been the advance of 20th century science in the diagnosis and cure of disease that one pictures men of medicine as seizing avidly on any discovery which contributes even slightly to their understanding the human body. And in general, such a picture is accurate. But what shall be said of Dr. Kilner's remarkable experiment? An experiment which might have revolutionized the whole field of medicine had not doctors and laboratory experts chosen to ignore it.
The record of Dr. W.J. Kilner's astonishing discovery may be found in a book entitled The Human Atmosphere. There he recounts how, on a summer's day 12 years before, he happened, by the merest chance, to stumble on a strange and inexplicable fact. He and his assistant were working on a routine experiment in the laboratory of St. Thomas Hospital in London.
All right, Alex. I'm ready for the viewing screen now.
It's got some sort of a dye on it, hasn't it, Doctor?
Yes, I stained it myself this morning with dicyanine. Hold the screen up, Alex. Let's see if it's dying. Wait a moment. What in the devil's name is that?
What?
Behind the screen.
It's my arm.
But what's around your arm?
Around it? Why, nothing.
Nothing you can see, perhaps. Alex, I want you to disrobe. I want to see your whole body behind that screen.
The laboratory assistant, completely baffled by Dr. Kilner's sudden intense excitement, removed his clothes and stepped behind the viewing screen.
A sort of an aura, all different colors, extending beyond the surface of your skin. The human body, at least your body, throws off a strange kind of substance.
In the first feverish flush of discovery, Dr. Kilner had no doubt that he had correctly interpreted the amazing thing he'd seen. But an hour later, he began to wonder. And so he summoned one of his patients from a ward in the hospital and asked him to stand behind the screen.
I'm not crazy, am I, Alex? You see it too, don't you?
Sort of an atmosphere all around his body.
Exactly. The human atmosphere.
But why is it so different up there around his chest? The radiations. They're a different color and a different texture altogether.
By George, so they are. I'm sure they weren't like that when you... Good Lord. This man's a tubercular. And the aura's modified only in the region around his lungs. That screen's given us a new way to diagnose disease.
Word of the doctor's discovery spread rapidly through the hospital.
The human atmosphere.
You saw the radiations?
How do I know they aren't the properties of the screen itself?
Alex, you ready with the other patient?
Yes, doctor.
Help him to sit up behind the screen. If the radiations were just an optical illusion, if they were created by the screen itself, they'd always be present, wouldn't they, Doctor? Well, then, take a look at the man who's there now. Do you see any aura?
No, I don't. How do you explain that, Kilner?
It's simple enough. You see, the body Alex is holding up in that chair happens to be a corpse.
Dr. Kilmer made hundreds of difficult and invariably accurate diagnoses with the aid of his viewing screens. And yet, the record of Dr. Kilmer's work lies ignored, forgotten by contemporary science. This fact, like the fact of the remarkable experiment itself, can only be regarded as incredible but true.
That I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong. And I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, went out of his sight, took me out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts. No more is our answer, but so no. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange if you know that you're a wizard of three? I knew that this was meant for me. I heard little children were supposed to sleep tight. That's why I drank a fifth of vodka one night. My parents got frantic, didn't know what to do. But I saw some crazy scenes before I came to. Now, do you think I was crazy? I may have been only three, but I was swinging. They all after day, Graham Bell. They all after Edison and also when Einstein. So why should I feel sorry if they just couldn't understand the reasoning and the logic that went on in my head? I had a brain, it was insane, so just let them laugh at me when I refused to ride on all those double-decker buses, all because there was no driver on the top. Told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, I think that it's you instead, because I have got a thing that's unique and new. It proves that I'll have the last laugh on you, because instead of one head, I got two. And you know, two heads are better than one.
This is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. Today is the first day of a nationwide campaign sponsored by the National Safety Council. Their advice is to check accidents, double-check your car. And this is the ideal time to do it, just before you start your heavy summer driving. Let your Ford dealer check your brakes, lights, steering, and tires, and in general get your car ship-shape for miles of pleasure ahead. It's important to know that Ford mechanics are Ford-trained. They use special Ford equipment and factory-approved methods. They can supply genuine Ford parts. Because Ford dealers know Ford's best, they save you time and trouble, and they save you good, hard cash. So tomorrow for sure, take your Ford back home for a real spring tonic.
Here they are, folks, straight from the glamour city of the world. The Babbitt sisters in another part of Hollywood. Several days ago, we met the Babbitt sisters, Martha and Abby, two lovable old maids who have lived all their lives in Hollywood. Well, they remember when Hollywood was once an orange grove and renowned Hollywood Boulevard only a cow trail. However, all about them, the scene has changed. New faces, new streets, new houses, new ideas, and Hollywood has become famous. But in the spacious grounds of the old-fashioned house on Wilton Avenue, nothing is different. The fig trees continue to bear. The avocado tree grows larger each year. The house gets its yearly renovating as it did when California was just learning about tourists. And the routine of the Babbitt sisters never varies, just as the lives and the routine of hundreds of other people like the Babbitts who live in Hollywood never change. Well, the last we heard from the Babbitt sisters, a real estate man had approached them with an offer to buy their property for a motion picture company. With such a turn of events in their lives and with such a strong feeling against the motion picture industry, the sisters begin fighting the efforts of the super colossal film company to build a studio on their street. And their bitterness against the movie people increases tenfold. During the space of time between the first episode and the one you are about to hear, many of the characters in the story have been introduced, including Tommy Carlton, the boy who lives next door. The sisters have also just received a telegram announcing the arrival of their young niece from Connecticut. Well, they're not looking forward to her visit with any great pleasure, for they believe Hollywood is no place for young girls. Now it's very early in the morning, and they're in the kitchen just finishing their breakfast. At any moment, their colored laundress, Lily, is expected to arrive.
You'd better hurry, Abby. You sit there and dawdle over your coffee like you had all day. You haven't got your dress on yet.
Well, I can't drink my coffee in anything but my wrapper. And you know it. I've been doing it for 20 years. My, this coffee's hot.
Yes, and you make so much noise with it. But do you have to drink your second cup of coffee this morning? Fiddle. I told you we should have gotten up at 5 o'clock this morning instead of 5:30.
Well, Lily ain't here yet. They told her to be here sharp at 7. My, Martha, we've got 2 whole hours until train time.
We haven't got 2 hours. We got only an hour to get to Glendale. Come on, Abby. Oh, you worry me to death. You're so dilly-dally sometimes. Well, look at the clock at 7. Oh, there's Lily now, coming through the back gate.
She's certainly taking her time.
She's getting old. Hurry along, Lily.
Yes, ma'am.
We got a lot for you to do while we're going down to the train, Lily.
Yes, ma'am. But I got the misery in my back this morning.
Oh, you always got misery in your back. You had the misery ever since I've known you.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Miss Abby.
Come along now, Lily.
Oh, good morning, Lily.
Now, Lily, just let the kitchen go until last. Come with me upstairs, and I'll show you what I want you to do in the spare bedroom.
Yes, ma'am. What's the matter, Miss Abby? You look kind of peaky this morning.
Oh, she's all right, Lily.
Well, we was up pretty late last night, petitioning.
Petitioning?
Lily?
Did you ever get up a petition, Lily?
Is that some kind of a game?
Well, no, not exactly. It's where you put a lot of names on paper to see if you can keep somebody from doing something.
No, ma'am, I don't reckon it's how I has. But I has played tit-tat-too.
Well, it's more serious than that, Lily.
Lily, come on. You're going to make us miss the train.
Yes, ma'am, I's a-coming. Oh, lordy.
Now, Lily, the first thing we want you to do is to get all this stuff out of the spare bedroom.
Yes, we sort of shoved everything in here when we cleaned out the rest of the rooms the other week.
Then, after you get this stuff out of the way, why, I want
you to... y'all want me to do, Miss Martha? Just heave it out the window?
Oh, of course not. Oh, I'm so nervous this morning, thinking of getting to the train on time and all. Why, let's see. Put it back in the hall closet.
Yes, ma'am.
Then take those curtains down and put up the new ones that we got yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Better press them before you put them up.
Is your iron a-working?
Why, of course it always works.
Well, didn't the last time I was here?
Fiddlesticks. Of course it works.
Lily's right, Martha.
Well, can't you go see if it works while I show Lily the rest of the things she's got to do? Mine.
Well, I've got my dress to put on.
You got plenty of time to do that.
And I've got my hair to take down.
Well, you'll still have time to see about the iron after you fix your hair. If you just hadn't dawdled over that second cup of coffee.
Oh, that's right. I get blamed for everything. Whenever you get in a hurry to do something, I told you last week we ought to have done this room first. I had a funny feeling.
Oh, you're always getting funny feelings. Oh. Now, Lily, I want... Oh. Abby, will you please stop crying? You know you always break me up when you do that. Now, Lily, when you get the curtains up, take the rugs down in the garden. Put them on the back lawn. Tommy cut it yesterday. Oh, that reminds me. Where is Tommy? He ought to be coming along any minute now.
Oh, Tommy's not supposed to be here until 8. Oh, Martha, you make my spine shiver all over. You're always in such hurry.
Well, I got so many things in my mind, I'm almost crazy.
Yes, Lily, we're almost always crazy. just pixelated. Well, I'm that way, too, because Martha gets so worked up over things.
Well, I wish you would once in a while.
Well, somebody's got to have the equilibrium around here.
What with a moving picture people trying to build right on top of us, and a petition that's only half full, and a silly sister who thinks it's smart to send her child clear out to Hollywood on a pleasure trip. It's a wonder we aren't in the asylum. Oh, there's Tommy now. Hurry along, Abby. Don't stand there.
Oh.
You're not half dressed.
All right.
Oh, I told you not to drink that second cup of coffee.
Miss Martha, what else you all want me to do? I got the curtains up and the rugs cleaned and the trash in the closet.
You have no such thing.
Yes, ma'am, I has. But I'm like Miss Abby. You give my spine the shivers, too. You just naturally get so mixed up like.
Yes. Well, don't talk so much. Now, be sure and get... Abby, stick your head out of the window and see if that's really Tommy.
Oh, my, no, Martha. My hair ain't combed yet.
I never saw the beat fiddle. I might as well do it myself.
Miss Martha, you just run along now and get your hat, and I'll haul out the window to Mr. Tommy. And don't you mind about these here rooms. I've been a-cleaning for y'all for 30 years. I knows what to do.
Oh, yes, that's right, Lily. Well, don't holler too loud. I don't like it. It sounds so common.
I'm ready, Martha. That is, I think I'm ready.
Where's my hat? Have you got my hat, Abby?
Well, of course I ain't.
Well,
what would I have your hat for?
Well, you go along, get in the car. I'll be right down.
Yes, I know you will. Oh, we're coming, Tommy.
We've got plenty of time. I'm early.
Well, I guess I got everything but my senses this morning. Oh, good morning, Tommy. Kind of foggy. You'd better drive kind of slow.
I will, Miss Martha. That's the reason I'm a little early.
Well, crawl in, Abby.
Oh, dear, I've forgotten.
Now, what's the matter?
Oh, I've forgotten the rabbit's foot. Oh, I never get in an automobile without it.
Nonsense. Nothing but sheer nonsense.
Well, I don't know. Remember that time on the state picnic, or was it the Hollywood Old Settlers? Well, anyway...
Well, what difference does it make? That's beside the point, Abby.
Oh, here comes the train down the track now.
Hurry, Tommy. Get the door open. Oh, fiddle, if we've missed getting here on time.
Oh, we're here, all right.
Abby, shut up. You're hysterical.
You've got plenty of time. There you are. Yeah. Careful of that step and don't crack your head on the edge.
Wouldn't make much difference if I did.
No, it wouldn't. It's cracked anyway.
Abby.
Oh, why, I mean the door frame, of course, Martha. Oh, my spine's beginning to shiver. Oh, there's the train.
Yes, trains always did make me nervous. Come, Abby, now let's run.
Oh, I can't run. I never ran for anything in my life.
We've got plenty of time.
Oh, fiddler, how can you say such a thing when the train's stopping, Tommy? Now, Abby, you look this way, and I look down that way. And don't get separated.
Oh, no, we mustn't separate, because she'll probably know us quicker if we're standing here together.
What does she look like?
Oh, she's pretty.
Yes, she's pretty.
Abby, will you please stop looking my way? Keep your eyes up at that end.
Oh, but most of the people are getting off right there by you.
Oh, you perfect dears. Getting down here so early to meet me.
Oh, it's all right. We're so glad to see you.
Oh, yes, we're just awfully glad to see you, Tabitha.
Well, don't forget me.
Oh, of course. This is Tommy Carlton, the boy who lives next door.
Yes, he cuts our grass now.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'm so tired. It's such a long way to Hollywood, but I'm finally here.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's good to be here. I've worked so hard to earn this trip, this chance.
Well, we just hope you're going to like your vacation real well, and we'll do everything we can to give you a good time.
But Aunt Martha, this isn't a vacation. I'm going to stay.
Oh, my, Martha, she's going to stay.
Oh, but you can't.
Oh, yes, but I can. I'm going into the movies.
Oh, the what? Why? You wouldn't dare.
You see, I won a photographer's contest for the prettiest schoolteacher at home, and I've a contract.
Oh, contract?
With the Super Colossal Film Corporation of Hollywood.
Quick, Tommy. Catch Abby. She's fainted.
Well, as Martha might say, isn't this a pretty kettle of fish? Or is it? Well, it probably is, as far as the Babbitt sisters are concerned. With the Super Colossal Film Studios trying to buy them out, and with the same company already owning the acting rights of their niece, what is going to happen? It is intended that this series shall depict as much reality as possible, using actual names of places of interest, restaurants, names of celebrities, and streets, with only the characters in the main part of the story fictional. So that visitors who have been to Hollywood, whether they came from Oshkosh or New York, will recognize the names and places. One can just imagine Mrs. Jones telling Ezra Smith, "Oh, I saw that place." Or, "We went there on our trip to Hollywood." Later, the sisters will attend actual premieres, and in the course of the story, they will visit picture stars' homes. As the story progresses, the sisters are naturally won over to the stability and genuine friendliness of the people in the movie colony. And with the progress of the series, the Babbitt sisters will undergo a complete change in their ideas of Hollywood. The part of Martha was played by Martha Wentworth, and that of Abby by Noreen Gamill. The story of the Babbitt sisters was conceived by Miss Wentworth and Miss Gamill and was registered under number 12653 at the Screenwriters Guild, December 6, 1937. The script was written by Miss Gamill. This is David Jordan speaking, and this is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with the Babbitt Sisters, starring Martha Wentworth and Noreen Gamill. We also heard Annie Ross with the song Twisted from 1952. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, Philip Clark is your host for A Tale of Mystery from the Sealed Book as WMKY presents The Golden Age of Radio.
The Sealed Book.
Once again, the keeper of the book is ready to open the ponderous volume in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. All the strange and mystifying stories of the past, present, and the future. Thank you. keeper of the book, what tale will you tell us this time?
What tale shall I tell you? I have here tales of every kind. Tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds and events strange beyond all belief. let me see. Yes, yes. Here's a tale for you. A tale of a man who stole by force the secret of immortality, of life everlasting, and entered into a mad adventure. The title of the tale is King of the World. Here is the tale as it is written in the sealed book. It is late at night, and the wind howls over the desolate countryside. In the darkness, a man runs frantically through the woods, trying to elude his pursuers.
I've got to shake him, or it'll mean a 10-year stretch.
Stop, or we'll shoot!
That's twice they got me in the same arm. Oh, here's a house with a light in it. My only chance. If I stick to these trees, they won't be able to see me. I'm almost there. Here's a door. If it's only unlocked. Oh, it is.
Good evening.
Now listen. Now listen close. A couple of guards from the Horton estate are after me. I'll be behind this door covering you with a rod, so you haven't seen me, you understand?
I understand.
That must be them. Remember, any tricks, and I'll start blasting.
I have no intention of being foolish.
Okay, go ahead then. Open the door.
Yes? What is it?
There's been an attempted theft of the Horton diamond, sir. We chased the crook this way. Have you seen anything of him?
Why, no. There hasn't been anyone here tonight.
We'll keep on going. Good night.
They're gone now.
You did all right.
I'm glad you're satisfied.
Hey, what kind of a place is this? All those machines, bottles and things.
This is my laboratory.
What are you, a professor?
Yes, you might...
Hey, what's that?
Your nerves are on edge. It's only my Great Dane, Caesar. Come in, Caesar. We have a visitor.
Hey, what's he growling at me for?
I'm sorry. He always growls at strangers.
Don't like him coming towards me that way. Keep him away, will you?
Come here, Caesar.
He won't listen to you. He's going to spring. Well, this will stop him. Get him off. My arm. Take him away, will you?
Here, Caesar. Here, stop it, I say. Stop it. That's better. I think I'd better put the chain on you, Caesar. Did he hurt you?
Look, I put 3 slugs into that dog. Why isn't he dead? He isn't even wounded.
You must have missed.
You say I missed him, do you? I won't miss him this time. I suppose I missed him that time, eh? Why isn't he dead?
Well, the truth is, in this laboratory, I've created a serum that has the power to defeat death. I call it Serum L. L for life.
You mean the stuff protects you from a bullet or a knife wound?
In a way, yes. Swifter than the eye can see, it heals all wounds. The damage is repaired in a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
My serum is what protected Caesar.
A shot of that stuff and you can't be killed. It sounds screwy, but that dog, 4 slugs and not a mark on him. Look, Professor, I'm going to make a deal with you.
A deal?
Yeah. I'll let you keep on living if you'll give me a shot of that serum.
But that's impossible. It hasn't been perfected
what
yet.
What do you mean it hasn't been perfected? It saved the dog, didn't it?
Yes, of course, but I'm still in the experimental stage. I don't know how long the serum is effective or the condition in which it leaves the body after it is worn off.
You're wasting time, Professor. I'd hate to have to persuade you.
I see. You understand the responsibility is all yours.
It's all right, Professor. You let me do the worrying. Now, come on, let's have a shot of that stuff.
Very well. If you'll roll up your sleeve.
Sure. And don't try pulling a fast one, Professor. It won't be healthy.
May I ask why you're so anxious to have my serum?
Any guy in my racket who can take a slug and not feel it would be top man.
I see. Just hold still a moment.
All right, go ahead.
That's all.
Hey, my wounds. They're gone. Why, there isn't even a mark on my arm to show where they were.
I told you it healed faster than the eye could see.
Yeah. It's like a miracle. Think of it. I can't be killed. Nothing can stop me now. I can move in on all the rackets and take them all over. Yes, sir, I'll be king of the world.
Hello, Duke. What do you want to see me about? I'm kind
of
busy.
I won't take up much of your time. I'm after a job.
Well, I'd like to give you one, but I haven't room for another man.
You're wrong. There's one job in your racket that's going to be open soon. Yours.
Mine?
Yeah.
Duke, you've got a funny sense of humor.
Yeah, I know. But this is one time I'm not kidding.
You better be kidding, or it might not be healthy for you.
I don't have to worry about my health anymore.
You'd better go while the going's good.
I like it here. You're the one who's leaving. Right now.
You haven't got a gun, Duke. The boys saw to that. And I have.
You're a little nervous, ain't you, Williams?
Stay where you are. I'll let you have it.
I don't scare easily. Not anymore.
You ask for... Couldn't have missed. I won't this time.
Don't seem to be able to stop me, Williams.
I shot you. I tell you, I shot you. Why did you fall?
Oh, it can't be. I put 6 bullets into you. Why did you fall? Your gun is empty now, Williams. It's just you and me.
No, Duke, don't. I'll do anything you say. Stay away, please.
Too bad, Williams. You should have resigned when I gave you the chance. But you would be stubborn. That's what they'll all get if they stand in my way. Hello, Mike. Come on in. I'm just totaling up the take for last month. Going to be quite a haul.
Duke, you're headed for trouble. You've been expanding too fast, stepping on too many people's toes.
They don't want to get stepped on. They better stay out of my road. They've tried to bump me off a half a dozen times in the past month, and I'm still alive.
Duke, what is it that keeps you up, even after they put a dozen slugs into you?
Your job is to carry out my orders, not to ask questions.
Oh, I didn't mean anything by it.
I hope you didn't. Now, look, I want you to pick up a fast car. We're going after the Horton Diamond tonight.
The Horton Diamond?
Yeah.
Duke, that's suicide. We're cleaning up right here. Why risk our necks on a dangerous job?
Because I want the Horton Stone. The way I got it figured, we can't miss. Remember, their guns can't stop me. Hey, is 70 the best you can get out of this car?
I got my foot down to the floor now.
Hey, look at that diamond, Mike. Isn't that a beauty? Think of it. I got $500,000 right in my hand.
A lot of good it's going to do us if we don't shake that police car.
Yeah, you're right. They're hanging on. We got to shake them.
There's nothing more I can do. I'm pushing this crate as fast as it'll go.
All right, look out for this curve. We're taking it too fast.
Hey, I can't control
it. Look out. We're going over it.
They must have been doing all of 70 when they crashed.
Yeah. They'll sure have a hard time identifying this guy behind the wheel. What a mess.
What about the other guy?
Let's have a look. Say, there isn't a mark on him. He's unconscious, but he doesn't appear to be hurt at all.
But he must be after a crash like this.
Take a look for yourself. I tell you, this guy is going to live.
A lot of good it'll do him. After killing two guards of the Horton estate, he's headed for the electric chair.
Thank you.
And now, to go on with the story of the King of the World, as it is written here in the sealed book. Duke Farson, having been duly tried and sentenced for the murders he committed, is being strapped into the electric chair.
Warden, you're wasting your time. This isn't the last mile from me. I'm one guy you can't fry.
All right, Richards, we can proceed now. Will you examine the body, Doctor?
Sorry to disappoint you, Warden, but I'm not dead.
Yeah, but you must be. No man has ever lived through it.
I'm not like other men, Warden. You can't kill me.
Richards, unstrap the prisoner from the chair. What's happened must be due to a mechanical defect. That must be it.
You look a little pale, Warden. It's good to get out of that chair. It's not very comfortable. But why are you all backing away from me? You afraid I'll hurt you? I'll just take this gun. That's better now. All right, Warden. Start marching. You're going to lead me to freedom if you want to live.
Duke.
Let me in, Joe. Quick. That's better. Hey, you look as though you'd seen a ghost, Joe.
The papers are full of stories about your escape. They say the juice was turned on, and yet when it was over, you got up and walked away.
Yeah, that's right. I told them I was one guy too big to be killed.
Look, Doc, I can't afford any trouble with the cops. You know I'm a three-time loser.
Shut up. I'm still giving orders. You'll do as I say. The cops can only send you up for life. I can do worse.
Don't talk like that. Duke, you know you can count on me. I'll do anything you say.
You'd better. I'm going to hole up here for a couple of weeks until the heat's off. Meanwhile, I'm going to make plans, big plans. I'm bigger than just being the king of the underworld. If I organize things right, there's no reason I can't use the underworld to take over the rest of the world. Yeah, that would make me king of the world. Wouldn't be hard to either. Why is that clock so loud? I can't even hear myself talk.
What clock? There isn't any in this apartment.
Are you deaf? Can't you hear it?
No, Duke, honest. I don't hear a thing. You must be imagining things.
I don't know. I don't hear it so loud now either. Yeah, I guess maybe it was my imagination. Yet I could have sworn. Well, never mind. I got other things to think of. Big things.
Why don't you sit down, Duke, and take it easy?
I'm tired of sitting. 3 weeks in this rat trap is enough for anyone. I've had about enough.
The heat's on as big as ever, Duke. I never saw them as anxious to get anyone. Every time I go out, I expect some dick to trail me back to this hideout.
Suppose you let me do the worrying,
sure,
huh?
Sure. I was only talking. Have you been having any more of those attacks lately?
I'm okay. Stop talking about it. It's bad enough without having to be reminded about it. I don't want to hear... Hey, what's that?
What, Duke?
That buzzing sound. Keeps growing louder and louder.
I don't hear nothing.
Listen, you must hear it. It's a fly. Yeah, and it's getting louder. I tell you, I can't stand it.
Fly?
Yeah.
I don't hear it. Wait, there's one over there flying around those cracks.
Well, do something, will you? I can't stand the noise. It's driving me crazy.
Take it easy, Duke. I'm doing my best. Kill it.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's gone now. For a while, I thought I'd blow my top.
Maybe you'd better see a doctor, Duke. You've been getting these attacks more and more these past 3 weeks.
No doctor can do me any good. There's only one man that can help me.
Who's that?
That's the professor. You remember me, don't you, Professor?
Yes, of course. I've been reading quite a bit about you in the papers lately, Mr. Farson.
Your serum was all right, Professor. It saved me from being electrocuted, but
I don't know. These last 3 weeks, something's happened, and I don't like it.
Suppose you tell me about it.
I keep getting attacks. Maybe I'm listening to the radio. Everything's fine. Then all of a sudden, it grows louder, as though someone was turning it on full blast.
Mm-hmm.
It pounds on my head until I think I'm going crazy. Professor, I can't stand it. You gotta help me.
You recall that when you asked for my serum, I told you it hadn't been perfected.
Well?
That I didn't know what effect it would have on the human body?
Yeah, I know, but you gotta help me now. I can't go on this way. I keep waiting for the next attack. Each one is worse than the last.
You remember my great Dane Caesar, don't you?
Yeah, sure. He tried to take a piece out of my throat, didn't he?
I'll open this trap door. You can see him in the cellar.
Huh?
Yeah, there he is, Mr. Farson.
Well, what's wrong with him? Why does he keep whining like that?
Caesar, too, received an injection of the serum, Mr. Farson, 6 months before you received yours.
Yeah?
Now, every sound he hears is 100-fold greater. I'm speaking to you in normal tone of voice. Yet to Caesar, I'm shouting unbearably loud.
You mean that...
Caesar is passed into a condition where every sound is sheer torment. To be quite frank, he went insane 3 months ago.
Oh. Well, why don't you kill him? Put him out of his misery.
You forget, Mr. Farson, that the serum still protects him from death. He can't die.
And is that what'll happen to me in a few months?
Yes, I'm sorry to say.
But, Professor, there must be something you can do. Maybe you got another serum, huh? Anything. I've got money.
I'm sorry, but it isn't a question of money. I can offer you no help.
I can't go on this way, waiting for each new attack. And then in the end, if only there was an end, if only I could die.
Possibly there is a way out.
There is? Tell me. I'll do anything.
Well, as you know, my serum can prevent death from a dozen bullet wounds. But there might be one way its great healing powers could be defeated.
Yeah, which way is that?
If you were to use an explosive, a powerful explosive, you might blow yourself up into so many pieces that the serum would no longer be able to defeat death.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. One of the mob once had an accident with Nitro. They never found a trace of him. Yeah. Yeah, Nitro. That would do the trick.
Yes, quite possibly. If the attacks continue and they're beyond endurance, it may be your one way of escape.
My one way of escape? Once I thought that with your serum, I'd come to rule the world. Now I'm looking for a way out of it.
Oh. Oh, it's you, Duke.
Yeah. You expecting someone else?
No, of course not.
What are you so jittery about?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I'm okay. What'd the guy you went to see say?
He can't help me. No one can.
What are you going to do, Duke?
There's nothing I can do but wait. Maybe he was wrong. Maybe I won't get them attacks anymore. After all, just because it happened to the dog doesn't mean that... Hey, what's that? That steady pounding. It's growing louder and louder.
Must be another attack.
I can't stand it. It keeps pounding. Pounding louder and louder.
Maybe it's the faucet in the kitchen. It's been leaking lately. I'll have a look at it.
I can't go on this way, I tell you. I can't. It's gone now, but there'll be another attack. And then another.
The faucet was leaking. I just turned it off. Was that what was troubling you, Duke?
Yeah. It's no use. I can't go on this way, waiting for it to happen all the time. And then ending up like that dog.
What dog?
Never mind. Get out the car. We're going on a little trip.
Trip?
Yeah.
Where to, Duke?
Upstate to the old hideout. I'm going to try to take the one way out.
Duke, won't you tell me what we come to this old place for?
You'll see. Come on. What are you looking around for?
Nothing. No, no.
Have you got the shovel?
Yeah. Won't you at least tell me what we need the shovel for?
You're gonna do some digging for me in the cellar.
Is there something buried in the cellar?
Yeah, Nitro. All right, here's the cellar door.
Nitro. You mean that's what's buried down there?
Yeah. We stored it here for safe-cracking jobs. Now I got a better use for it.
You aren't going to get me to dig it up. It'd be suicide.
You saved this gun, don't you, Joe? You haven't much choice. Now start down those steps.
But I can't see. It's pitch dark down here.
That's okay. Just feel your way down the steps. We get to the bottom, I'll light a candle.
Duke, please don't make me...
Keep going.
Duke, that was the bottom step. What about lighting a match?
Okay, just a second. I've got one here.
Grab him, Ross. I got his gun.
I got him.
Let go of me.
Give me a hand.
I got to reach that nitro. Let go.
Get him, coppers. Get him or he'll blow us all
up. You rat. You squealed on me.
Hold that light on him, Jordan.
While I slip the cuffs on him.
I got him.
You've got to let me get to the nitro. It's the only way I can die.
He's as crazy as a loon.
Yeah, a place for this guy's in a padded cell.
Farson, in you go.
All right.
There. You won't be able to hurt yourself in that nice padded cell. And you won't be able to hear any of those loud noises again,
no,
either.
No noises.
There aren't any radios or watches or automobile horns that can bother you in that cell. It's guaranteed 100% soundproof. Now be a good boy.
Oh, you gotta let me go. I want to die, do you hear? You can't let me live and suffer these attacks. Let me out of here. Let me out, do you hear? I can't stay. Oh, it's starting again. Another attack. It's growing louder and louder. A steady pounding. Oh, it's my heart beating. Growing louder and louder. I can't stop it. I can't stop it. I can't stop it.
That is the story of the King of the World, as it is written in the sealed book. Years have passed, but Duke Ferguson is still locked up in the padded cell. Day and night he begs to be executed, and yet at the same moment he knows he can't die, that the serum in his blood has given him immortality and sentenced him to a life filled with torturous sounds from which there is no escape. There is no escape. It is so written here in the sealed book. But the sound of the great gong tells me I must close the great book once again.
One moment, keeper of the book. What story from the sealed book will you tell us next time?
Next time? What shall it be? A tale of madness? Of terror? Of dark deeds in far lands, for I have them here, all the stories that ever happened, and many that have yet to come to pass. But I'll find one for you in just a moment.
I know you're going to be mighty busy during the next 5 days, friends, and I also know that you don't want to wake up with a cold. But have you noticed Old Man Cold is really making the rounds? Let's hope he doesn't catch up with you. However, if you should feel a cold coming on, remember Alka-Seltzer. Yes, remember and try Alka-Seltzer for fast relief from much of your cold distress. Here's the ABC cold comfort treatment. A, Alka-Seltzer. B, be wise. Beware of drafts, be careful of your diet, and be sure you dress sensibly and try to get more rest than usual. And C stands for comfort. The comfort an Alka-Seltzer gargle can give a sore throat caused by a cold. Well, there it is, friends. Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment, as easy as ABC to follow and really effective. Just try it and see for yourself. Remember, when you begin to sniffle and sneeze, start Alka-Seltzer's ABCs. Get Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore and say better buy that extra package, too. That's the wisest thing to do.
And now, keeper of the book, have you found the story you'll tell next time?
Yes, I found one. It's a story about a ruthless man who put money above all and wouldn't stop at murder to achieve his ends. The title of the tale is death spins a web.
Be sure to be with us again next time when the great gong heralds another strange and exciting story from...
The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
Down the old ox road, learn to croon straight from the shoulder. Milestones in popular American music. Milestones in the career of one of America's favorite troubadours, Bing Crosby. This Wednesday night, over most of these same CBS stations, you're invited to hear the Bing Crosby Show. Bing Crosby with the music of John Scott Trotter, with the Rhythm Airs, with Ken Carpenter. Here's the show designed for the whole family. A pleasant and diverting mixture of music and merriment, guided by the one and only Bing Crosby. Plan now to hear the Bing Crosby Show this Wednesday night on CBS.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with the tale of mystery from the Sealed Book with your host, Philip Clark. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.